Welcome to RFF Reality TV Radio. Each week, Rob and Trevor bring you the latest reality TV news, information, and gossip. Download your shows at rffradio.com, and now, here is the weekly show.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast on the internet. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Rob.
And we got a nice little potpourri of shows to talk about tonight. What do you want to lead off with?
Well, I think the first thing we need to talk about is my big interview. And it was my big interview this time.
I know.
And I felt bad. I felt horrible that you weren't there with me. I really did. I know it doesn't sound sincere, but I really did.
I felt horrible, too.
I got to sit down last Thursday. It's been almost a week already at the time of recording. And got to talk to the winners of Amazing Race 9, BJ and Tyler. It was a great interview. It's a 40-minute interview. It will be played after this show is done. For the live show listeners, you will need to download the podcast, unfortunately, to listen to the interview. But that's okay. I haven't figured out a way to play the interview over the live show yet. I'm working on that. But in the meantime, you will have to download the podcast to get the interview this week.
That's awesome, getting the two winners on the show.
So and I mean, just a few weeks after it was done. We can thank Puddin' for that interview, by the way.
Kudos to Puddin' for hooking us up.
And these two, BJ and Tyler, were so frickin' busy. BJ was literally on his way to another interview and taking calls during the interview. It was nuts. So, it had to be edited down, but that's okay.
It's just good to get him onto the show, get another winner onto the show.
Exactly. Is that the first winner?
That's the first winner.
That's the first winner we've had. And You know what else today is? Well, it was yesterday. 1 year anniversary.
1 year anniversary. Wow.
I believe it was 6605 that we started doing this podcast 1 year ago. I might play a few clips of the year, put a few minutes of the show in. The first show in at the end of the show.
I was on fire in the first show.
You know, we sucked. And the audio quality is awful. I don't know how you guys listen to us for a year. I really don't. We've come so far in a year. I remember last year at this time, I didn't think we were going to be a year and being doing live shows. And if you're part of the live show and if you want to learn how to listen live, it's rffradio.com/live. And if you're listening to us live right now, rffradio.com/feedback, and I need to keep my eye on this, rffradio.com/feedback to send us instant feedback that we can read during the live show. So, we actually need to talk about stuff tonight. I mean, we can't just sit here and talk about ourselves all night.
Let's stay on the Amazing Race. I got two good things on the Amazing Race.
Okay.
First off, everybody who disliked Jonathan from his season on The Amazing Race, Jonathan Baker, tune in to Fear
Factor. Who liked Jonathan Baker?
Nobody liked him. In fact, next Tuesday's Fear Factor has already made my TiVo.
Tuesday? I didn't even know. I asked you at the pre-show and didn't even set my TiVo yet.
It's next Tuesday before Last Comic Standing is a Fear Factor. And Joe Rogan and Jonathan apparently engaged in some fisticuffs. And
that happen? I want to know, at what point does Joe Rogan go up and just beat the shit out of him? I want to know the lead up.
Well, I heard the rumor was that Victoria was pushed Johnny Fairplay or something like that, and that's what started it. I have to think Jonathan was probably just grating on him the entire time. You know how Jonathan is.
Yeah.
He's just annoying, right? And he's probably whining and pointing, just being all around annoying to Joe Rogan. I bet Joe Rogan finally snapped. You know, Joe Rogan does the ultimate fighting stuff, so, you know, maybe he's one of those guys just, you know, when he gets pissed off.
I mean, obviously the big payoff is that Jonathan gets the crap beat out of him.
Supposedly Jonathan was, you know who broke up the fight?
Johnny Fairplay?
The Miz.
The Miz. Oh, my God. If I have to watch another show with The Miz...
You know what? Isn't that just perfect? Can you script that? Joe Rogan and Jonathan Baker getting into a fight, and Miz has to be the guy who brings peace to the table.
I just don't ever see why a host needs to go up and beat the crap out of its contestants. I mean, we will never see Phil Kogan going up and just kicking, you know, Chip and Ryken's ass. That's not going to happen.
But you know what? Jonathan was even grating on Phil Kogan. And Phil's probably the most even-keeled guy hosting a reality show. Remember when he pushed Victoria, and Phil gave him that, like, British condescending, I think you should go talk to your wife. Gave him this look like, you stupid imbecile.
At what point do you have to get Phil so pissed off that he hit someone? That's what I want to see. That makes good television.
You know, if anybody was going to push Phil over the point, it was probably Jonathan.
Oh, probably. I bet we'll get somebody even more annoying later on.
No, but that's going to be interesting, so tune into that. And then there's a casting call, and I know we actually have a lot of message board posters and listeners in Texas. And I saw this for The Amazing Races. They're having a casting call on June 17th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Sherlock's Baker's Street Pub and Grill, located at 254 Lincoln Square in Arlington, Texas.
You know,
Arlington is right by Dallas. That's a big city, so I would think we might have some posters and listeners that could show up for
Is
that.
This Arlen, Texas, or Arlington, Texas?
Arlington, Texas.
Oh, nobody got that joke.
No, so...
Do you watch King of the Hill at all on Fox?
No.
Okay, well, Arlen, Texas is the name of the town on King of the Hill.
All right.
So nobody got that joke. I'm sorry.
No, it was a good joke. If I'd watched King of the Hill, I would laugh.
I wanted to make a point that we had last week. We were making fun of the locations for the Survivor casting calls at, like, these furniture marts. And I don't have the email in front of me, and I wish I did, because I need to give credit to the person that emailed me. I'll never think of the name right off the top of my head. I appreciate the email, by the way. But the way that she sent this email, I'm pretty sure it was a she, and I am just a babbling idiot. Anyway, that no one from CVS would be present at the casting call. The only people that would be there is the local television station to record your 2-minute audition tape.
Really?
Really.
Wow, that sucks.
So, Jeff Probst would not be there.
Well, the article said casting call that I got.
Right, and it is a casting call, but the local television station is going to be setting up their cameras and recording your 2-minute or 5-minute audition tape.
So, it's essentially a casting call for people that can't afford video cameras?
Exactly. I have no other word besides exactly.
Well, that's kind of nice CBS does that. That means they're at least making a good faith effort to try to get people
it's kind of a half-assed. I mean, let's face it, it's on a Saturday. Shut up. Just listen to me for a second. It's on a Saturday. You're going to have some stupid intern going out there, doop-de-doop, how do you run this camera? And he's not going to get anybody's tape recorded, and it's not going to get sent in, so it's a waste of time.
It's an effort. It's a good faith
effort. It's an effort, but you're sending an idiot intern out to do a man's job.
How do you know they're not saying, like, some assistant
They're
producer?
Not. They are not. It's a Saturday. They don't work. Send the interns.
Did you see the list of talents they're doing that in? Do I have to repeat them?
No,
have you ever heard of any of that?
No, we're not doing that again. We do not have to fill this week, okay? Last week, maybe, but we have an interview coming up, so we're not filling time.
So what do you got? What do you want to move on to?
I want to talk a little bit more about The Amazing Race, because there is a rumor going around that we are going to have an All-Stars Amazing Race, because Ryken was asked to do The Amazing Race with Chip again. Now, this is third-hand knowledge coming down the pike. It's not confirmed at all. It's rumors starting to bubble. I really want to talk to Wally Branson about this. I need to send him an email, get a hold of him somehow. I would think that he would know something about this. Our friend Wally. Wally's been on the show, what, 2-3 times now?
Mm-hmm. And I told you it's going to be the second season next year.
And I think that's the way it's looking.
It's the first one that I think they're already either beginning their race or the teams have already been chosen. But the second one, I think, I've always heard it was going to be the second season next year. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it don't surprise me at all. By the way, thank you, Kat and Jason, for getting my joke earlier. Instant feedback. It's an interactive show now. So, that's the rumor mill beginning to do its thing. I don't know. I hate to see an All-Stars. You know my opinion on All-Stars. I don't want to see it.
I actually think The Amazing Race might need it.
No, I just don't see why they would.
Ratings have been slightly declining. You do have to bring
back
some history.
But that's because of the Family Edition. And no offense to Wally. He was probably one of the best. He had one of the best teams on Family Edition. But let's face it, and even Wally admits this, that it was a subpar season.
I actually think the Family season might have been better than the last season.
No. No, it was not.
The only compelling team last season was BJ and Tyler. At least in the Family Edition, you had the Bransons were a pretty compelling
team.
But the Lynn's family was decently compelling. There's another family I thought was okay. But, I mean, this season, all you really had was BJ and Tyler that were really, like, Eric and Jeremy, nobody really caught on or cared about. Ray and Yolanda, nobody really gave a crap about. I think the Family Edition might have had more to give in terms of teams than last season.
No, I'm not gonna dispute you on that. I think that the casting was done better last season. However, there was nothing to do. They didn't go anywhere.
That's something they would have to remedy next time around. But I don't think last season was Head and Shoulders better than the Family Edition. I don't think the Family Edition is the reason why the show started.
Yes, it is. Yes,
Having last season on top of the Family Edition is really what has caused the somewhat downward spiral.
I'm just going to give you an example. And my mom and my aunt were huge fans of The Amazing Race. They got bored on Family Edition, and they did not watch this last season, which they would have enjoyed this last season. But they got bored with the Family Edition and didn't watch this season. So,
but don't you think the All-Stars might bring them back? Because I'm sure there's characters on the show that they like that now they get to reacquaint themselves with.
But this is the whole thing. And people that listen to this podcast, it's not the people that I'm talking about that listen to the podcast. It's people that these people know. I'm not downgrading anyone. But these regular Joe Schmo viewers don't remember the people.
I mean, think so?
No. My aunt, I could ask my aunt to name somebody she really liked from previous seasons, and she couldn't do it. She loves the show, but she could not give me a team that she thought was memorable.
I totally disagree. I think Rob and Amber are a team everybody remembers. Chip and Kim have definitely some name recognition. I would say probably Colin and Christy have a good amount of name recognition as well. Chip and Ryken, that's four teams right off the bat.
I understand that. But you also write for a reality TV site. You do a reality TV podcast, and you are a moderator of a reality TV forum. So
you don't think
you
people
can't
remember
talk,
Rob?
No, I really don't think so.
Rob and Amber's wedding scored like an 11 rating. There's definitely going to be people that are going to watch it because of them.
But these are hardcore people. I'm talking about the fringe audience. I'm talking about 20% of the audience, which may not seem like a lot, but when you have 10 million people watching or 20 million people, it's huge. The fringe audience does not remember a lot of people.
Well, let's look at Survivor All-Stars. Survivor All-Stars did better ratings than most the shows immediately before it and immediately after it. And
a lot of people don't understand either.
A lot of people credit that as being a shot in the arm for Survivor. So you don't think the Amazing Race All-Stars will have the same impact as Survivor All-Stars?
I really don't.
I don't see how it couldn't.
The All-Stars was a fad. I think All-Stars reality TV is a fad. I think Survivor, like you said, probably proved that the formula works. But I honestly think it's a one-hit wonder. I really do.
We'll have to file this with our Jeff Probst debate.
We really will. You know, you and I fight more on this show than we ever fight when we're just casually talking. When you and I are casually talking, and granted, it does not happen too much because we don't talk much other than this show, but we do talk casually once in a while. We never disagree, do we?
We have to disagree. If we agreed with each other, nobody would listen
But
to
when
show.
We're talking, we never disagree. There is never a point where I'm saying, Trevor, go screw yourself like I did last week. It just doesn't happen. You and I agree on most everything when we're talking casually. When I hit this red record button, it seems like it aggravates something in you or myself. And, well, we bring out the claws.
That's because when we're hanging out, we're talking as friends and we agree with each other. On the show.
On the show, we fucking hate each other.
On the show, we have to take opposite sides of the spectrum because
you hate me. I knew it. You hate me on this program.
If we don't take opposite sides of the spectrum, it wouldn't be a good show.
Jeff Probst would screw Survivor if he was gone.
Jeff Probst.
We have to have this debate.
Yeah, well, we have to schedule time for the Great Probst debate.
We really do.
I got some shit on the real world if we want to move on to that.
Absolutely. Let's move on. I don't like arguing, Trevor.
All right.
I really do like you.
I like you too, though. Do you want to do an on-air hug?
Well, let's see. What's halfway between Nebraska and New York?
I'll meet you in Ohio.
Okay, let's go. I'm leaving. That didn't work out too well. Okay, go ahead. Real world.
All right. Mike the Miz has been named host of WWE's Friday night program SmackDown. So he's moving on to that. And Mike Antrichelle will be on Fear Factor, which is going to be on. Oh, they're saying it's been pushed back to June 13th from June 6th. That's not what I heard. Stay tuned on that. I still think it's June 6th.
That was yesterday.
Oh no, June 13th. Then that's when the Joe Rogan Jonathan episode is going to air on June 13th, and the Miz and Trichelle will be a part of that. Theo was on NBC's Last Comic Standing, however...
Was this Theo from The Cosby Show, or...
Theo from Road Rules. Oh, okay. Road Rules, not like the real world stuff.
Okay.
He got eliminated, though, and that's kind of shocking to me. I would have thought they'd try to push him on, since he has actual fans, but apparently NBC's not interested in ratings.
Have they ever been interested in ratings? I mean, let's look at their track record.
I mean, if I was a producer of the show, I'd be like, listen, I tell the judge, I'd be like, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but make sure Theo at least gets to the quarterfinals.
from The Cosby Show, by the way, once again.
Or no, but make sure Theo is one of the last people who gets to the last show of the season. He doesn't have to win when he gets there, but make sure he gets there.
Don't you think these other people are going to get a following, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to have people watching the show right off the bat, though.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there. But they're gonna build up a following.
So yeah, that kind of sucked though. I was hoping he would last longer. And And then I watched the Real World Road Rules Fresh Meat Challenge. I heard a spoiler as to who's going to survive, but I'm not going to. If you want to know, you can email me. I have nothing really new to say on that other than I hate the fact that Coral and Evan keep winning. And Wes still has his mohawk, which I think makes him a big toolbox.
Yeah, I've seen that. That idiot. I want to shave his head while he sleeps. I mean, I watched that preview night. That I need to watch another show, I know that, but I want to shave his head while he sleeps. Get rid of that. Mohawks are 1970, okay? 1970. But I'm done ranting.
Done ranting.
You just fall silent when I rant. You just open the floor for Rob's rant. It never fails. It's like, okay, Rob's ranting. I'm going to shut the fuck up. I'm cussing more tonight. I must be in a mood again. You know, I got a little pissed off this morning. I was driving to work, and they are herding cows down the middle of the goddamn highway. Okay? And shit all over the road. I turned around, and I knew the back roads, thank God. We have back roads around here, as we do in most other areas of the country, the rural. Yeah, that word, life. So I took the back roads. However, I still got cow shit on my car, and I was not happy. And I figured, this is why I eat cow. I do not want them on the road. They were almost roadkill this morning.
That sucks. Actually, if you did kill one, then you could bring it home, have steak.
You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to stay away. I'm going to totally stay away from that whole thing. I cannot get my microphone adjusted tonight. I am sorry. I'm fidgeting with my microphone.
I got some light humor.
Okay.
TV Land is casting for its new Mr. T reality show, I Pity the Fool.
I heard about this.
And they're looking for families or businesses who need help with very light issues. If you want, you can email twinsworld1@AOL.com. Or call 917-678-9996.
Who's going to sign up for this? I mean...
I was thinking RFF Radio.
Go ahead and finish the phone number. I interrupted you right in the middle of the phone number. Go ahead.
It's 917-678.
Who's going to sign up for this? I mean, honestly. Who is going to sign up for this?
Well, I was thinking we could have Mr. T as an intern.
I'm sorry. Give us the phone number one more time.
No, you're going to cut me off again.
No, I won't.
917-678-9996.
Who's going to watch this show?
Why not have Mr. T as an intern for RFM
Radio? Oh, I do not need Mr. T. I've got plenty of other problems. I do not need Mr. T.
I was going to email. Maybe I'll copy you on it.
Okay.
Maybe suggest, like when I'm doing RFF Radio, Mr. T can be making my dinner in the background with, like...
You know, if you're going to get an intern, I also want an intern. I mean, get me somebody else from the 80s. Get me Fat Albert from the 80s. Give me Hulk Hogan. I'll take Hulk Hogan for an intern. You can have Mr. T.
I'm sure if they're doing the show, we wouldn't have to pay for it. So we just email them like, listen, Mr. T, I'm doing RFF Radio. Maybe we'll have you on for a couple minutes for an interview, and then maybe you go make my dinner.
Yes, like he needs to the lucrative interview on RFF Radio.
Well, clearly if they're giving out their email address and phone number in the newspaper, they're running low on opportunities.
That is true. What is the phone number again? And I'm serious. I'm not going to interrupt you.
917.
Who's going to watch this show? Why would you watch this show?
6, 7, 8.
And just be quiet. I'll mute you. If I cannot cut you off, I'm going to mute you.
That's 3 9s and a 6.
Bingo! Oh my god, we have got nothing, do we? We absolutely have nothing to talk about. The Apprentice is over.
Who won?
Sean, the British guy. Which I was very happy. I thought he deserved it.
I called it.
Where is Mr. T when I need him to kick your ass?
I told you I called it.
The thing is, and America really did get to vote, and Donald Trump got to read the results live on the air, and Donald never really gave the real results, I don't think. If Donald Trump had disagreed with the results anyway, he would have lied and made it up the other way. So, I mean, it was really a waste of time. It was really a gimmick. Donald Trump will do whatever the hell he wants to do anyway. Why did we even waste our time going to the website to vote? I didn't vote because I watched it late.
I was upset because apparently my invitation to Radio City Music Hall got lost in the mail.
Oh, those bastards.
I'm not sure what happened. Definitely know I live in New York.
Yeah, oh well, I'm sorry, Trevor. You just got screwed over, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to talk up just a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Okay, talk up just a little bit.
6, 7, 8, 9, 9. Five.
Shut up. I don't want to hear the number. So, happy 1 year anniversary, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
What did you get me?
I was going to sing a song.
Aww. You know what? BJ and Tyler actually sang you a song.
Memories. Order of my...
Honestly, BJ and Tyler sang you a song. You haven't even heard the interview yet, have you, Trevor?
No.
You're going to have to download the interview and listen to the interview on your own show. I didn't even send you a preview, did I?
No.
I am a horrible co-host. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
That's my 1 year anniversary gift to you, is the surprise interview.
Very nice. I'm okay. Looking forward to the interview.
It was a good interview. Let's see. I want to – just The Apprentice, Sean won. I was happy. Lee fumbled on the whole Dennis Leary Firefighters Foundation hockey game. The lady, Alice, I believe was her name, that used to run the event was not very happy. I don't know if she is a man hater or if she's a Jew hater. I mean, I'm not sure because she was very, very down on Lee and his team. And I don't know if she's like, oh my God, they put a man in charge of this, or oh my God, they put a Jew in charge of this. I don't know. I thought it was unacceptable, her attitude towards everything. But the thing got planned and executed. Lee screwed it up. I thought he had a weird team. He had Lenny, you know, the Puck and Russia guy, and it was just a mess for Lee, and that's where he lost the whole game, honestly, to Sean. And Sean did say that he loved Tammy and wanted to marry her someday, so I thought that was just so sweet.
He should have proposed to her on the air,
and he was too freaking happy that he won. Well, he didn't give a shit if he got married or not that night. He won. He won a job. Whoop-de-doo. Yay. I get to work for the rest of my life for Donald Trump.
I hate Donald Trump.
And the reason why we haven't seen Randall, and I got this email today, the reason why we haven't seen Randall is that his season didn't... This season that they just finished was done taping by the time they announced that Randall had won. So
that's interesting. That means they started taping it essentially immediately after.
Right, right. And I think that's why Donald Trump did the live show from Los Angeles, is because the next season is going to be in Los Angeles.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, do you have anything else?
Nope. We can go to shout-outs, though.
Yeah, well, I forgot about shout-outs.
I promise
to not interrupt you.
All right. We'll start off with Ashley from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. she deserves a second go-round. She says it's the best podcast. She says the best podcast in existence. P.S. Hey, Rob, guess what my favorite game was as a kid? Cops and Robbers.
Oh,
Robbers.
My God, that kinky.
Then we'll go with Michael. Michael, on your anniversary.
You know, hopefully you're going to get so much hate mail for giving this beautiful woman special treatment. Trevor@rffradio.com if you want to bitch him out.
You know, I don't care.
And if you want to send lovely sentiments, it's Rob@rffradio.com.
Well, no, we'll do the guy. We'll do Michael over again from Bethlehem, PA. Says congrats on your anniversary. Hopefully at the great probes debate, we can get a show devoted to the great shows on VH1. I forgot to talk about Supergroup. I've TiVo'd a bunch of the episodes, but I haven't actually watched them yet.
And you know what I forgot to talk about? The train wreck called Kathy Griffin.
I hate that woman.
She is a pain in the ass. She really is.
I despise her with every fiber of my being.
Oh, she is a pain in the ass. I don't know why I watch it. I think it's just, it's like the Ashley Parker Angel show. It's one of those people that you kind of know, or kind of think you know, but she is a pain in the ass. She's not like Ashley at all. She is a pain in the ass. Anyway, we'll give it to that next week.
We got Gina from Dover, New Hampshire, who says she loves the podcast.
All right.
Carrie McDougall from Williams, California. Best podcast out there.
Wow. That's, you know, putting no pressure on us at all, is it?
You know, McDougall, there's a bar I go to, McDougall Street Ale House. It's really good.
And, you know, when I heard McDougall the first time, I thought it was of a American Idol contestant. Wasn't there a McDougall?
There is a McPhee.
I know that, you idiot. Wasn't there a McDougall somewhere?
Hey, we got another Michael from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, who listens to us. He says, great job.
Yeah, but that was the same guy.
How do you know it's not two Michaels from Bethlehem, PA that listen to the
I
show?
I do not think that that's possible. I do not
Why don't you think that's possible?
It is not possible.
Definitely.
That is like, I have a Powerball ticket here tonight. If I win the Powerball, fine. I will say that it is the same. However, anyway, you better read it because I'm going to feel like an ass if I'm wrong.
If you win Powerball, do I get a cut?
Absolutely not. You're too much of a pain in the ass. I'm not going to win anyway, but yes, you would probably get a... Anybody in the live show tonight, I'm taking down names. If I win the Powerball, you get some money.
Nice.
There you go.
All right, this is from the other Michael in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
It is from the same Michael.
He wrote, great job getting the BJ and Tyler interview. Hope you had a great time in PR, Trevor. I had a fabulous time.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
The hotel I was at had a swim-up bar. Like, it was this infinity pool. Like, it goes, like, into the ocean. And,
you
like,
get you, no money if I win the Powerball.
You swim up to the bar and you order these. Oh, it was wonderful.
You get $0. You just screwed yourself out of money.
They had this blue drink called the El Faro that was absolutely phenomenal.
Sounds delicious.
Michael also says everyone needs to vote for the show at Podcast Alley and Yahoo Podcast.
Is that some of your beef stew coming back up on you, Trevor?
That is some of my beef. the stew has some side effects.
Why don't you and tell then, that to your girlfriend? I hope then she listens to the show and gets in trouble. You. Sorry.
Then Sarah
and I hope that you get in big trouble from your girlfriend.
My girlfriend doesn't listen to me on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Actually, she does every now and then.
So you better be careful.
No, she usually laughs it off.
Okay.
Except when I make really crude jokes.
So then she fucking hates me, don't she?
No, she likes you.
Oh, okay.
She thinks I'm the more obnoxious one.
How can that be? Anyway, finish the shout-outs.
Then Sarah from Slide.
I'm
going to
stop
Louis.
Interrupting you now.
Okay. This one you're actually going to like.
Okay, so I better shut up.
She mentions Nebraska in her shout-out.
Oh, I didn't see this one. You have to tell me.
Sarah from Slidell, Louisiana says, "Hey, y'all, it's hot as hell down here in the South. Hoping for a no-hurricane season down here in New Orleans so we don't float away again. Or I'll be looking to go up north to live, maybe in Nebraska."
We will welcome you with open arms.
"I love your show. Thanks for catching me up on all the latest reality shows. You rock. Come down here for Mardi Gras one year. You won't be disappointed."
You know, I want to come to Mardi Gras, by the way, but I've noticed something very interesting on the Frapper map, because we didn't do the Frapper map until, like November, October, November. Have you noticed that there's, like, a big area where Katrina hit that we really don't have anybody?
Well, now we have Sarah.
We have Sarah now. But if you go through and load up all of the little markers, you will see that there's a huge void right where that hurricane hit. And to me, that was just fascinating. Maybe nobody cares. I haven't been watching the instant feedback.
No. I mean, that sucks. But I think eventually they'll build that area back up and they'll have all sorts of new RFF radio listeners.
Yeah, I think so. I look forward. I hope they don't have another hurricane, by the way.
I don't think.
How do you keep your money dry in a swim-up bar? Jason wants to know.
Oh, what you do is you don't bring your money to the swim-up bar. You put it on your room tab.
Oh, you really aren't getting any money when I win tonight.
So I'd be like, put it on room 115, and I'd ask, "Can I get a El Faro and a half yard glass?" And they'd be like, "Sure." And then I'd float around the pool and drink it and try not to drown.
Yeah, you know, why do they mix alcohol and swimming? That cannot be a good combination. I mean, how can that equal good? Beer,
yep.
Lots of water, equal good. No, it doesn't.
You know what they do? No, you can't have. You have a swim up bar at the hotel. I found this out from the bartender. You can't have a diving board at the same pool.
Oh well, duh. Why don't you just give people a knife and let them cut their wrists? Because it's the same thing.
Well, at least you're not allowed to have a diving board, so then you don't get really trashed. Go, let me try and do a backwards flip off the diving board.
That's what I mean. Why, if you're going to do that, just give free complimentary knives and let them throw at each other, because that's all you're doing. I mean, here, put an apple on your head, dude. I'm going to try to throw it off with the knife. Chunky Lover 53, which, by the way, that name cracks me up every time I read it. Randall is whoring himself on Reality Remix on Fox Reality.
I saw on JetBlue they have Reality Remix as one of the things. And it's hosted by Kennedy, the old annoying DJ on MTV. Now she hosts that. So now
that's her claim to fame. She was an MTV VJ.
And now she's the annoying chick on Fox Reality Channel.
She, you know, I used to watch her when I was a little kid, and Nickelodeon used to be in its prime. She used to host some game shows on Nickelodeon.
I'm not sure how she got. She must have a really good agent.
She must.
Like, we should probably.
She must
get
have
in
like
touch with
a super agent.
We should get in touch with her agent.
We should. Absolutely, because we are talentless boobs as big as she. Why can't we have our own show?
I think we may have more talent than her. I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say that we have more talent than she does.
I'm not gonna say that. I think we are big talentless boobs like she is.
No, I think we have a better sense of humor than Kennedy. I'm gonna come right out and say it.
Let's face it, it's because of her tits that she's on TV.
No, she's
yes, it
good
is.
Ones.
Yes, it is.
Have you ever seen how she dresses? She dresses in like that goth style. You can't even really tell. It's not like TV Guys Reality Chat when they're like, you know what? We're gonna have Kim Caldwell and Rosanna Tavares host the show, and we know they're airheads. We know that they're very annoying. if you catch our show, you'll stay on the channel for 5 minutes just to stare at them. We think we can get everybody for 5 minutes before they go, wow, I just can't even listen to them talk anymore and flip the channel.
Well, most people just mute. I do not know that from experience. I'm not saying that I do. But I think I have good knowledge that most people just mute.
Oh, because they're so annoying, you can't even believe it's happening. It's like you can't even believe that they got to host their own TV show.
You know, I'm sure there's people out there that say the same thing about us. But they can go screw themselves, honestly. Let's face it.
Tomorrow I'll get the email from Kennedy at Fox.com. It's just like, hey, Trevor, I heard what you said. How would you like to suck my balls?
Wow. Are we becoming shock jocks? Oh, you know, we really need to get going here. People really want to hear this interview, and we've been babbling for the last 40 minutes.
They can always hit forward, fast forward on their iPhone.
That's true. Thank God for fast forward. Let's be honest. You didn't have to listen to us. If you fast forward it and landed on this spot, I'm not going to say. Disappointed.
Should we close out the show?
I want to just say rffradio.com/contest. If you want to make an easy $100 or be entered in a chance for easy $100, I created a little commercial that I'm going to throw in at the end of the show that you can listen to. Some people got to listen to it on the message boards, by the way.
Very cool.
So, $100, get entered. Let's just run down. Podcast Alley, vote for us, leave a comment. Go to rffradio.com/contest for all the rules and instructions and details. You could win $100.
We're in 35th place right now.
We are in 35th place out of, 20,000 podcasts. That is that is higher than we've ever been before.
Hopefully this isn't the first podcast Adam Curry's first time Adam Curry. Holy crap, we're up at 12th on Yahoo also.
Wow.
I didn't even realize that.
To be eligible for the $100, you need to be at Podcast Alley. We'll do a Yahoo contest, maybe. But we really want your votes at Podcast Alley. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's get to the Rob and... Rob. Well, yeah. It was the Rob and BJ and Tyler interview. Honestly. I was so good.
How do we get from, we just fell to, 50 on Yahoo Podcast, and now we're
Yahoo
up at 12?
Yahoo Podcasts are so fickle.
Did we get, 5,000 people to just come rate us in,
last
2 days? Holy shit, we did! We had 10 people must have rated us over the last, 5 hours.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily have to be over the last 5 hours. I think Yahoo collects them and waits, and then every once in a while they push out updates to the sites.
Wow.
So
we're ahead of this show again. They're number one. They're down at number 20.
Oh, well, they've slipped then.
The whole 12 is completely rejiggered. How are there two Harry Potter podcasts ahead of us? Who? People need... Harry Potter?
Because we don't have the magic of Harry Potter.
You know what? Screw Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I never read the books. I never watched the movies.
Yeah. I haven't either. I have not either.
Harry Potter sucks. I went out and said it. Harry Potter sucks.
Sucks what, Trevor? I mean, do the authorities have to be involved in this?
He just sucks in general.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't. You better plead the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going with this crap? Trevor has never been involved in any illegal activity. Neither have I. With Harry Potter. God, do we have anybody? I can't believe we even have people left in the live showroom.
Yeah, I think we should kick it to BJ.
I think we should. I am sorry you didn't get to be with me, Trevor. I really am, because it was a lot of fun.
It's all right.
They'll be back. They sang you a little song, so you'll have to go listen.
I can't wait to hear what they say.
So the next time you hear our voice, I will be sitting down with BJ and Tyler. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate everybody that has emailed. It's show@rffradio.com. Rob@rffradio.com. Trevor@rffradio.com. Remember, send all the bad stuff to Trevor, all the good stuff to Rob. Just remember that. MySpace.com/RFFradio. Add us to your list, please. Put us in your top 8, preferably. But we can't force you to do that.
Sure we can.
Sure we can. Absolutely. If we divvy out another $100. We can't get people to do anything unless we give money.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have to buy our people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, well. We don't have the Howard Stern audience yet, so I guess. Until then, we will be buying people. Well, this is such a lucrative job. I'm going to shut up. I'm Rob. Have a great week, everybody.
I'm Trevor. Have a good one.
5 continents, 9 countries, more than 59,000 miles. BJ and Tyler, you are the official winners of the Amazing Race. Congratulations. You have won. You guys have won the $1 million.
Well, I have the honor, I guess, of sitting down right now with BJ and Tyler. They're both on the phone with me right now to talk about their time on The Amazing Race. How are you guys today?
Top of our game, Rob.
Good.
A++.
Well, I want to thank Puddin for putting this together for us because she got a hold of BJ for me.
She did get a hold of me. She got a hold and she didn't let go.
She is one of a kind, that is for sure. So we appreciate her getting together. Now, are you guys sick and tired of interviews at this point?
No way. Are you kidding? It's the beginning. A lifetime of interviews.
Yeah, I think you guys are lying. I've seen all the interviews that you've done on the internet.
Can you see our mental breakdown happening? The interview happening?
Oh. Well, it was quite a good payoff for you guys, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, not only did we get a race around the world, but we got paid $500,000 each for it.
Now, what are you guys going to do with all that money?
Right now, we have it invested. Tyler, didn't you meet with, like, some financial guy yesterday? How was that?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, I'm talking with another financial guy today. Man, as one of those famous rap artists once said, the more money we come across, the more troubles we see. That's proving to be quite true. My desk is a mess. My life is complicated. I'm more stressed than ever.
Now, now you say you're stressed, but was the race stressful for you guys?
The race was stressful. Indeed. Physically and mentally. But we handled the stress, I think, in a pretty positive way.
Did you guys get much sleep? Was the sleep a problem? How long were the legs?
Yolanda's legs?
Those
long
two.
Tree trunks. We would get sleep on planes sometimes when we weren't talking to people that were from the country we were going to, and also sometimes, I mean, a lot of, you know, we tried to sleep as much as possible at pit stops. I mean, sometimes we would watch Harry Potter in the TV in our room, but mm-hmm. then fall asleep midway through, never find out what was in the Chamber of Secrets. It was snakes. It turns out it was just snakes.
Oh, well, you just give away the whole ending for those that haven't.
Anyone who hasn't seen Harry Potter, Chamber
don't,
of Secrets.
Don't tell me, because remember we fell asleep before the end?
Yeah. Still haven't seen it.
Now, whose idea was it to try out for the Amazing Race?
Mine.
Did you try out?
No, it was BJ's idea. He said, hey, man, I just applied for Survivor, and I basically was investigating and doing research for the application process of reality TV shows, and now I'm ready. Now I'm packed with information on how to get onto TV shows. Let's apply for the Amazing Race.
So you had tried out for Survivor before?
I'd try to for Survivor, but only to scope out the audition process and figure out how Tyler and I could best show ourselves for The Amazing Race.
So you guys were really plotting the whole time, then.
Yes, it was a lifelong plan to win The Amazing Race. That's how we wound up becoming friends on Semester at Sea and hanging out briefly afterwards and then racing around the world.
Now,
every step of the way was carefully choreographed.
Have you guys been asked about All Stars?
Well, after the early show, when we were at the early show, there was an interesting interaction with Bertram Van Munster, creator, where he came up to us right after we got our checks and said, "Hey, you guys, that was a fun trip, huh? You guys probably like to do that again, huh?" And we thought he was just, you know, saying that we enjoyed the race.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, I'd love to do it. Compete against Robin Brennan and all the past winners. He was like, oh, yeah, okay. And, you know, we were kind of at that point because we've been up pretty late the night before the finale in Tarzan. But then later Tyler's brother was like, hey, was Bertram serious about that? And we were like, I don't know.
It'd be. Well, let's get started here for the actual race part. Now, from the very beginning, both you and Eric and Jeremy were out front. Was there any pressure for you guys to continue to be out front at all times? What was it like to start in first place like that?
Oh yeah, well, I think we had given ourselves that pressure before we left. Of, you know, partly knowing that we were a young, strong, smart team and had a good chance of staying at the front of the pack the entire race. So at the end of the first leg, when Eric and Jeremy came in like 2 minutes before we did, there was that talk of, oh, it's not going to be as easy as we thought to get first places, but it felt good to be in the front of the pack.
But was there any pressure to continue that then? Or was it more like, well, you know, these guys are strong, but if we just stay with them, we'll be good? Or was there pressure to be ahead of them at all times?
I think there was pressure to get ahead of them. Like, I know Eric and Jeremy would show it more when they got to a pit stop and weren't in first place, how upset they were. But, you know, when we were in Syracuse and got to the we'd been driving from the Anfiteatro Romano back to do the kayak thing, and when we got there and saw Eric and Jeremy were already there, we were just like, what? How did they get there before us? And, you know, we're still hoping that they might get lost on the way to the pit stop and we could pull out another first place. But, yeah, I think we were just as competitive as they were, but didn't show, you know, our disappointment with anything other than first place like they did.
Now, for you guys, what was the best country besides Tokyo? Because we know you guys had a lot of fun in Tokyo. What was the best country to visit for you guys?
Well, for me, it was Oman because never been to the Middle East before, and we had such a blast, and we met that great hitchhiker, Abdul Hamid, and it was just so surreal. Even though we were in the roadblock digging through the mounds, we got non-eliminated. It was the first shedding of our metaphorical skin, and we emerged stronger, and it was just like this really surreal experience that I'll never forget.
Now, was that the leg that Lake and Michelle actually saved you guys?
Yes. Lake was our...
in Greece.
Oh, that was... Yeah, that's right. That was in Greece. Lake and Michelle got so lost... But you guys also got lost. You were driving the wrong way. How long did you drive the wrong way before you finally realized, crap?
About 50 minutes to an hour in the wrong direction.
Oof.
Yeah. We were actually heading to an intermediary Klubox point that they didn't wind up showing on TV. They sometimes had those, you know, so they wouldn't really affect the... Well, in this case, they really could have affected the eventual... But, you know, when we got to Brotas... And we got in our Volkswagen Bugs. Before we went to do the detour, there was another clue box that we had to find first that was down this, like, path or whatever that we went to with Eric and Jeremy and Monica and Joseph. And then that's the thing that said, oh, to go to the detour. And in Greece, we after we got to the train station, there was a clue that said, drive to the town of Natsios and go to the end of this pier to find your next clue. Mm-hmm. And it was that clue that told us to go to the detour. But, you know, they make it seem like we just got there, got off the train, and then had to do the detour right after the bungee jumping.
Right.
So we were actually on our way to this town, Natsios, when we headed off in the wrong direction after a local said, oh, yeah, it's up here by Patra. And it was this road that didn't really have any exits on it or gas stations on the side of the road until we'd been driving for like 50 minutes. And when we finally stopped at this Shell station, the guy said, no, Naplios, it's back that way, back towards Korn.
Oh, God.
So at that point, we were just figuring we were out of it because usually minutes can count and an hour is, or 2 hours as it was, can be a really big deal.
What happened to Lake and Michelle? I mean, we understand that they got lost, but it really seemed like, wow, they were that far behind.
They ended up, we were trying to go to a place called the Fortress of Rion, and this lake says they were driving to a place called Irion. That was towards the eastern end of the country, and we were supposed to be on the western end of the country.
Oh, my.
They sure got a tour.
Yeah.
If anyone did. They traveled hundreds of miles in the wrong direction.
Wow.
Yeah, we actually saw Lake, you know, because they wound up coming in, we had that penalty, and then they wound up coming in like 5 minutes after we were checked into the mat, after that 50 minutes was up. And so we were like hiding behind this wall as they came in, and we're like, oh, Lake and Michelle, and, you know, seeing them having their mat chat with Phil. And then afterwards we were getting our interview about that leg of the race. And while we were sitting, like, down at the base of this castle, talking about the leg, Lake walked by in the background and was like, hey, Beach and Tyler, we made one wrong turn. We tried to go to Erio. And, you know, they were kind of pulling him away, taking him towards Sequesterville, but he was still in the race, even at that point.
your impressions have got to be the best.
Hey. Oh, thank you.
Now, in Moscow, we're going to head back towards the beginning. Tell us a little bit, how long did each team, from what you know, spend at those little damn dolls?
Some of the early teams had luck finding them relatively quickly. When we got to the dolls, we had already been driving around for 45 minutes or so trying to find the trolleys.
Right.
Because our, you know, like several, almost all the teams, it seemed, you know, had trouble finding it. It was this kind of obscure address. Elektronitny Prost 10A. And, you know, our cab driver took us to Elektronitny Prost, but couldn't find 10A. And, you know, it seemed like it was very tucked away in downtown Moscow. But then when we got to the dolls, you know, I think of the first three teams that were there, of like Eric and Jeremy and Lake and Michelle and Rain and Yolanda were just leaving when we got there. And then it was us and Fran and Barry for probably 40 minutes, an hour. Maybe, I think it probably took us like 45 minutes to do that task, right, Tyler?
Maybe 40 minutes.
Was it very discouraging when it was taking that long, or was it just, I mean, explain that.
It was terrifying because we thought it was, you know, Fran and Barry and us, so we were like, all right, whoever finds the clue next is going to be the one who does not get eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So we were pretty certain there was a pit stop coming up. It was just a prime example of how the race is so unpredictable. We ended up being the fourth team to arrive at the mat, but the mat was to be continued.
Right.
It wasn't the end of the leg, so.
Was that leg the most stressful for you guys, since it was like a to be continued?
Last several days and was tiring, but I think it was, we still had our initial energy from the start line, and it wasn't stressful as much as it was just like so exciting because we were near the front of the pack that entire leg, and it was just so awesome. It was like, okay, so this is what the race is about. We started to get a feel for it. Second, third leg, like, all right, yeah, let's get used to this.
Now, when you started the race and looked around at the other teams, did you think, man, you know, we've got this whipped pretty good, or was it one of those, ugh, how are we going to do this?
I think we would go through periods of extreme confidence and then, you know, sometimes a little more realism. But I think when we, you know, first got there, we were like, yeah, like, we're in pretty good shape here. You know, like, we've got Eric and Jeremy who are, you know, bigger than us, Ray and Yolanda, that are very physically fit. But then all the other teams, you know, seemed like they would, you know, we could give them a run for their money, especially when right at the starting line, we were like the first ones up to our backpacks, you know, only by a few seconds, but
right.
when you're in that adrenaline race, it seems like every second is a huge advantage.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about before the race begins. Is there any preparation time? Do you have, what, a couple days before the actual race begins? Or do they say, okay, let's go. We're going to fly you out to Denver to Red Rocks, and in 2 hours the race is going to start?
They do a good job of keeping it secret right up until a few days before your plane flies out. They'll just call you and say, all right, you know, go to your local airport and you're on flight, you know, 105 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tell you where that flight goes to. I mean, obviously you can call up the airline and figure it out pretty easily.
Right.
But then once we got to Denver, we did have some, you know, preparation, a few days where they explained the rules, and we actually had a little practice leg of the race just in a hotel conference room.
Mm-hmm.
Where we ran up and they were like, detour, eat this loaf of bread or do 50 push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
well, I don't know, BJ. Do 50 push-ups?
I don't know. Bread could be pretty good, though.
Yeah, but we just had lunch.
50 push-ups. So, yeah, we do that, and then, like, run over, and you had to, like, go to a yield mat and practice, like, just because they want you to know what you do when you get to each of those things
right.
on the race.
But it's
pretty cool.
Was picking a detour at any point in the race hard for you guys?
I think
we tried to do something where we would pick the most fun-looking detour. And that way, at the end, it was like, well, you know, at least we, I mean, because you can't tell Pickett which one's going to take longer or not. It's just so hard. There are so many factors and variables. So it's just like, why not do the most fun thing? And that way you'll have a more fun experience.
Like going down the river for 1 mile behind or with Eric and Jeremy at your tail.
Exactly. That's a prime example.
Now, did you guys think that was a mistake with that detour, or were you quite happy with the results of that?
The detour was that we chose was longer, by far,
right?
By a lot, of course, obviously. And we didn't regret it later because we had no way of knowing, and we did have a good time. And it's one of our fondest memories was going through that river. So, even though the times were different. You just can't tell. You can't tell at the time what's going on.
Right, right.
No, there's no regret there.
Yeah,
and it was also part of our master plan to eventually win, get our possessions taken away again, intimidate Mojo, get them eliminated, run in the first place, squeeze in the first place.
That was the leg that you guys yielded Mojo.
Yes.
And a couple legs, or the leg before that, they had refused to give you money, and that's where the whole fight began. Now, on TV, it seemed like it was a very, very big thing. In reality, what was it?
In reality, it just was, I think, each of our teams getting annoyed with the other. They, you know, went up to our car after the Oman pit stop, and Fran and Barrick had already gone up and, like, opened our door and put some money in, and then Ray and Yolanda did later, but Monica and Joseph went out and, like, opened the door and reached in and were like, oh, that's nice of them. You know, they didn't even really say for sure they were going to leave us money, but, you know, like, we didn't really say anything to them, but that's really nice of them. But then after, like, so we saw them doing that because we were there waiting for the thing to start. But then once it did and we went up to our car, we saw that they didn't leave anything. And just like, that's annoying. Why would they do that? They're not fooling anyone. You know, that's just wasting their own time.
Right.
And then, you know, they said, oh, well, that's because Eric told us during the Oman pit stop that you guys wanted to yield us. And I said, well, no, we never said we were going to yield you, but now that you did that, we'd like to yield you because now you did something kind of annoying. And then with the whole, like, cab canceling thing where, you know, right after we finished the Swan Bells, getting the clue from there,
mm-hmm.
Joseph came up to the cab and was like, get out, this is my cab, you can wait for your own, knowing full well that our own would never come.
Right.
Because he'd been there when Eric canceled it. So there is that issue, you know, of us having these little, you know, feuds as part of the race. But then also once we got to the yield mat and they were right behind us, we were, at that point, you know, racing for first place in our minds because, you know, it was just the four of us there and we didn't know where Eric and Jeremy and Ray and Yolanda were. They could have, you know, been, you know, still half an hour away and have gotten lost or something.
Right.
So we figured, well, like, we've already said we're going to yield them. Plus, right now, if to give us the best advantage for getting first place, we should yield them. And that's what we did.
Now, Monica said some really nasty things, like, and I don't remember if she called you scum exactly, but that's what she was getting to.
I believe she said sleazeballs.
Sleazeballs, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for. But she acted like that she wasn't going to yield you guys, or that they weren't going to yield you guys if they had gotten there first. Was that the deal, or were they going to be also sleazeballs?
Well, they said they were going to yield us, and they said they weren't going to yield us. But the truth is, the insider scoop is that when you yield someone, you have to have the envelope of the stickers, of your sticker and the other team, saying this yield is courtesy of
right.
Mojo or courtesy of BJ and Tyler. Earlier in the race, they had lost their sticker, and so it would have been physically impossible or technically impossible for them to yield us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's an inside scoop.
That is interesting.
When we were racing them to the yield mat, there was this idea that, you know, if we don't get there and yield them, they're going to be the ones that yield us. But we didn't know that they didn't even have the power to yield because they had lost their yield envelope early in the race.
How long was the yield? We really don't get a good sense of time on television. How long was it they had to stand there?
Like 15 or 20 minutes?
Their yield.
I think their yield was only like 15 minutes. I don't think it really hurt them that much at all because all the other teams had to wait for the teams in front of them to get on a plane and get up in the air to do skydiving and to, you know, get their equipment and get a briefing. So I think, like, you know, basically they just went at the time that Ray and Yolanda would have gone if they had been the ones that were in last place.
Plus, you know, the few extra seconds they stood there arguing at each other after the time had
exactly,
run out.
Exactly.
That was a classic scene. That was like classic Mojo right there, the epitome of Mojo.
I want to go back to the Oman leg for just a second. And there was kind of a big deal made out of the fact that BJ was upset at that point that he wasn't able to do all the fun roadblocks. He was saying, oh, Tyler, you get to bungee jump and do all this good stuff.
Aww.
And I have to stand here and dig in the desert. Was that a big a deal as they made on television?
I think BJ was more saying that out of sarcasm, right, BJ?
You think I was what?
You were half jokey, right?
I was joking, yes. And you know, at that point, I didn't realize that things were going to even out, and in the next few legs, I would get to skydive. Tyler would have to do this stressful roadblock, searching through a prison and. You know, rolling a boat through the catacombs.
Yeah, that's something I also want to get to. That seemed like one of the harder roadblocks.
It was difficult, but I think the most difficult part for me was knowing that this was going to be an elimination leg and that the pit stop probably wasn't going to be far away, and whoever finished this last was most likely going to be eliminated. And by the time we'd gotten to that leg of the race, we had a good feeling of the race, and we knew that this roadblock was going to make or break it for us.
You didn't have Lake and Michelle to get lost, did you?
Right, we didn't, but we did have Fran and Barry to not get a taxi.
That's true.
There was actually a moment when all the other team members that were sitting outside the prison who weren't during the roadblock, so it was me and Ray and Barry and maybe Monica was still out there, or maybe she had just left, but it was at least, you know, myself, Barry and Ray, and I said, guys, it's weird. One of us is probably not going to be in the race in another hour or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we kind of knew, like, because we had no idea how our teammates were doing inside the prison. We're just, like, sitting outside on the lawn. So we knew that whoever, you know, we saw next, whether it was Yolanda or Tyler or Fran, would, and then it was so good to see Tyler running out of that prison, and then we ran back to our cab and
How long did that roadblock take?
40 minutes? 35, 40 minutes?
There's a lot of downtime then on this race, isn't there?
There is a lot of downtime, but we made a rule that if we're experiencing downtime and we all of a sudden catch ourselves, we're relaxing while on a leg, to keep asking ourselves, is there anything we can be doing right now? Is there any way we can be productive?
Mm-hmm.
And usually there was. Usually it was, oh, okay, we can ask someone to use a cell phone to call for a taxi at the next place, or we can learn a few phrases in the language of the country we're going to, or find out about the area we're going to, or meet someone who knows the local area or who has a friend who's a travel agent. Just harnessing phone numbers and information was always really important, and I believe that's the reason we won the race, was because we utilized our downtime
mm-hmm.
the max.
Now, I know that this subject has been buried into the ground, but I want to hear more about the crickets.
Who doesn't want to hear crickets. About the crickets? I actually had a dream last night that I'm just remembering now, where I was maybe back at college, or I was walking down the main street of this town, and I saw some of my friends. They were eating some of the crickets from that roadblock that, you know, maybe were part of this party or something. And they're like, BJ, do you want to have one of these crickets? Remember these? And I was like, oh, I remember these. And I put one out of my mouth and started chewing it, and then just couldn't even swallow one and spit it out. Good times. Dreams are fun.
At that point, was that also a make or break for you guys?
That was, because if we had given up on the crickets, we would have been last doing all the other tasks, been eliminated.
Yeah.
We basically saw a $1 million check at the bottom of that bowl, and we figured, you know what, Jiminy Crickets are not going to get in our way from that check and from the rest of this amazing experience.
Yeah, a lot of the pressure was taken off when Ray and Yolanda left, because if they had been there sitting next to us, we would have not only had to finish this bowl of crickets, but finish it as quickly as possible. And, you know, because at that point, it's not just who can finish it and then get to the pit stop first. It's whoever finishes it gets the fast forward, and whoever doesn't has to go back and do the other tasks. So when they left, we just knew, okay, we have to put this bowl of crickets into these stomachs here, and once we have made this transfer, then we'll be the first team.
Let's face it, were Ray and Yolanda going to be able to do that task if they had to?
We were intimidated when we first got there, because Ray was talking some trash and just said, yeah, we're from the South. We can eat anything that's fried. Oh, man, these are in trouble. And Yolanda's like, oh, yeah, those look good. I love me some Southern cooking. I'm going to eat that up. And we're just like, oh, no, like, because, you know, they are...
They are from the South. They do eat fried stuff.
So there was a little bit of intimidation.
Yeah, as it turned out, Ray didn't eat one.
He didn't. That's right.
Oh, Yolanda ate one and then said, let's go.
I was just like, okay, honey.
So when you finally got to go to Tokyo, was that something that you had expected on the race, or was that just a pleasant surprise for you guys?
Before going on the race, BJ and I fantasized about our final leg, and it included going to Tokyo and going to Japan and winning the entire race. And it was just so surreal and thrilling, exciting to be actually going there. And we've both been there before, and I spent a lot of time there, and it feels like my home away from home. And there we were, just cruising down the streets, having a blast, and feeling really comfortable there. Ray and Yolanda just had no idea what was going on when they were asking for directions. But we were just like, oh, yeah, this is our hood. These are where our homies hang.
And you were kind of familiar, though, with the area town that you were in.
Yeah, well, I'd been to Tokyo several times before and had been to one of the parks that was near the buildings that we were going to, and kind of recognized a lot of the streets and major intersections. And so that really helped out. I mean, I know it was just like... It was such an advantage to having been able to speak a little bit of the language.
You know, and that's a good question. How many languages do you guys speak? It amazed me. Every week you were in a different country, almost every week, watching the show, and every time you were able to talk the language.
What is it, BJ? 32 total between us?
Yeah, between the two of us, 32.
Wow, that just amazes me. I was just shocked. That was one of the things that, as I was watching the show, I thought, you know, these guys are probably the most fluent in all of the languages of all of the countries that they've been to. And I was impressed by that.
The great thing about the race is that while you're on, you never just wind up immediately in another country. You're on a train or on a plane, you know, from one place to another. And while you're there, you can brush up on your Russian or your German and, you know, try to talk to people to find out about the place that you're going to next, whether it's the Mercedes-Benz factory or you know, the Chekhovasin in Moscow or something, and just, you know, say, like, what is this? And, like, how would I tell a taxi driver to get there? And, like, how would I tell him to drive faster? And, you know, just brush up on all the things that can help you on that next leg of the race.
What was the most frustrating thing for the both of you during the whole race?
Frustrating thing? Ooh, those damn frat boys!
Yeah, I guess that might have been, you know, like, any time that we got somewhere, and, you know, since you don't know where you are in the race, a lot of times we would have the optimistic outlook that we were in first, you know, especially if we'd, you know, gotten to a Kulaks first and we're heading somewhere like, oh yeah, like we made good time on that freeway. And then, you know, both in Germany, we got to the bottle breaking task, and in Syracuse, as I said before, when we got to the kayaking, when we saw the frat boys there, there's just this, this sinking feeling in your stomach, like, they're just finishing this task that we're getting to. So that was pretty frustrating. Totally. I agree.
The very last part, the last roadblock with the flags, that looked very intimidating. Was it intimidating? How long did it take? And how long were Eric and Jeremy there before you guys got there?
They got there about 7 minutes before us.
Yeah, I think that's the most intimidating part, was getting there and seeing that they were already there with the start on their flags, and we had to catch up. But once I started running, you know, I just knew I had to do it as quickly as possible. And once we got to Greece, Tyler saw that Eric was running for the same flag that I was, and just did a great job of, you know, encouraging me on and saying, "You are still in this, DJ. They're going for the same flag we are." And at that point, you know, there's just this extra...
Big, BJ, big, come on, man, I know you can do it!
I knew if I could just get all those flags, Tyler would stop yelling. JK.
It's so intense watching BJ do a task, not being able to help him, and knowing that there's $1 million. If he does it faster, I couldn't do anything but just scream and scream and scream. I was going wild. I was like a crazy monkey in a cage in like some Eastern European zoo, just wanting my home back.
And how long did that take you, BJ?
I'm not sure exactly how long it took us to do that. You know, time kind of lost all meaning
right there
in that field of flags.
15 to 20 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, probably like 15 minutes or something like that.
And were Eric and Jeremy right at your tail on that? They made it seem like they were on TV, but were they really?
What we heard later from people was that they actually finished about 7 minutes after we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then made their way up. But, yeah, I'm sure, like, after they saw us running towards the mat, that, you know, took some of the adrenaline out of the task.
And what was the run to the final mat like for you guys?
Oh, you can't help but, while on the race, imagine what that might be like to hear the other eliminated teams screaming for you to come, and rounding a corner and seeing Phil standing there with his arms crossed and his eyebrow raised. And it's just like you think of it all the time. And I know that we tried not to fantasize it too much because it can mess with your mind, especially if you don't win. But having it actually happen was just, it was like having sex with the queen. It was like, you can't imagine these things until
what?
They really happen.
Yeah, I actually remember talking to you, Tyler, when we were, you know, maybe on a plane out of Thailand or something, and saying, hey, like, we might actually be the team that's running to that mat, like, being surrounded by all the other past teams cheering for us, and you saying, like, yeah, like, I can't even imagine that, because each time I do, it's just too intense.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah, totally, man. Oh, memories.
Tell us a little bit about Phil. I think everybody's infatuated with Phil just a little bit. Is he a real genuine guy like he shows on TV? We don't get to see him a lot on TV, but...
He's a genuine fella. He's a choo-choo Charlie and a class act. We weren't sure what to think of Phil. Like, we'd just seen him doing his Amazing Race hosting thing, and we'd read some of his book, No Opportunity Wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were getting our photo taken, you know, that... those photos of us with our backpacks on and our arms crossed that you would see in magazines before the race started, Phil walked into the room, and that was the first time we saw him when we were at the hotel in Denver, and he just made this, like, smiley face, like, get a load of these guys, and we were just completely starstruck, and we're like, oh, it's Phil! Phil, how's it going, Phil? And he was just laughing and smiling, and, you know, in a way, he's like a little kid who gets to run around the world couple times.
One in Thailand, and we got to the mat first, about an hour and a half, 2 hours in front of the other teams. And one of the funny things was we had this Thai buffet set up. We got to go eat, and Phil hadn't eaten yet. So he said, come on, guys. In this row, block teams must eat lunch with Phil. Enjoy it. Oh, yeah. The best roadblock ever.
Was there ever time that Phil was on the same flight as you guys? Or is he just totally separated from the teams?
There was one time on the race, which was when we were going from Germany to Sicily, and we got that early flight on the internet. And when we went to check in, that was the earliest flight out that morning. And you know, teams had been coming into the Munich pit stop up until like the night before, mm-hmm. with Juan and Desiree and Danny and Neil. So Phil was right there with his bags, and we were giving him a hard time. Like, Phil, is that whole suitcase filled with turtlenecks? Phil, like, what are you doing? You're the same flight as us. And you know, that was the first time that we were wearing our Bowling Mom shirts. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that episode on the CBS website, there's a lot of Phil's photos of Tyler and myself. But it was interesting because then Eric and Jeremy, you know, also got on that first flight out of Nick. But then there was a transfer in Rome, and we wound up getting on this on the earliest connection from Rome to Palermo, Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Phil got on that connection with us. I guess they knew that he would have some more time while we were searching through laundry, so I think he got on the next flight out of there.
Now, the laundry challenge you guys did quite well in. That was a time where you kind of surged ahead.
Yeah. I think at that point we'd already searched through so many things with the bottles and the dolls and the gnome holes that we figured, well, like, since we're the first team here, it is kind of a gamble, but if we wind up, you know, finding it right away, then we'll save a lot of time compared to the other task. And, you know, we did. So it was a good gamble.
Did you feel like you took a lot of gambles on the race, or were you more conservative with how you played?
Oh, good question.
Finally, a good question.
We took several times gambles. There were a couple of times, for example, in Darwin or in Perth, Australia, we took a separate ferry that was going to take us to a different location but possibly get us ahead of the other teams. In Darwin, before going to Thailand, we took a separate we decided to go downtown and beg for money first before getting our plane tickets. That was kind of a gamble. Every time we did gamble, we knew though that it was going to be part of our eventual plan, part of our victory.
Your master plan to win.
Yeah, that's right. So you could see it as a gamble, but for us, it was just putting in the appropriate blocks.
Mm-hmm, Do you guys keep in contact with any of the other racers?
Yeah, all of them were at the finale party in New York.
Yeah, a radio interview at the same time.
I think we're interrupting BJ's real life.
No, they're going from internet radio interviews to TV guide.
Oh boy! Yeah. Where are you going to be on next? Yeah.
Well, that's, while I've been doing this interview, I was actually in a like limo going from my apartment to TV Guide Channel Studios.
Ooh.
Another interview, sadly without Tyler, because he's up in San Francisco.
Aw, that's too bad.
Oh, man. Yeah. Flown down, but that's too lazy.
Well, say hi from RFF Radio for everybody at TV Guide.
I will. Hi, everybody.
The one big controversy, I don't know if you want to say controversy, was the pictures that surfaced on the internet with Eric and Jeremy.
Oh, right, and those wax sculptures of us that they had bought. that was a bit of a controversy. As soon as we found out they had those, we knew that they would be posing with pictures on the internet coming out.
Those sick bastards.
Yeah. So we don't have any hard feelings against them. They're frat boys. That's what they do.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate you guys sitting down with us. And I'm real sorry if I interrupted your real life.
No, not at all.
We want you back on our show sometime. My sidekick, Trevor, is in Puerto Rico today. So he misses the fact that he wasn't here today.
Oh, Trevor, we miss you too.
So we'll have to have you guys back sometime.
Miss you, Trevor. Well, yes, we do. You know Puddin in real life?
What's that?
You know Puddin in real life?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
Whoa. Do you guys
unfortunately.
No. She's a real good friend. She helps me with Reality Fan Forum.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a good site.
Here, Don't let me forget to tell you about the dream of Puddin I had last night.
Okay.
did you really? Yeah, that guy does a good job of figuring out like everywhere the race is going next.
She is amazing, isn't she?
She's like a little Sherlock Holmes. she's like the Nancy Drew of reality TV. I'll tell you later. I gotta go. I'm on TV now.
Okay.
Thank you, BJ.
Thank you so much, BJ.
Now.
Thanks, Tyler. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thanks a lot. It was fun. Good talking with you.
I had a blast.
Great.
All right. We want you guys back on sometime when your life isn't so crazy.
Just let us know.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Would you like to make an easy $100? Who wouldn't? RFF Reality TV Podcast is giving away $100 to one lucky person who votes for us at Podcast Alley, only if we make it to the top 10. Take 1 minute of your time and you could end up $100 richer. Wow, $100 a minute? I'd like that pay. Anyway, visit rffradio.com/contest for instructions and details.